This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Friday, April 21st, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Biofuel incentives in the crosshairs. Lawmakers come to atrazine's defense, and planted versus base acres on the table. House GOP seeks to gut biofuel subsidies. The Republican attempt to tighten SNAP work requirements has gotten a lot of attention in recent days because of its potential impact on farm bill negotiations. But the GOP debt ceiling bill that the House could vote on as soon as next week also would gut critical tax incentives for biofuels and renewable energy that are included in the Inflation Reduction Act, the Democratic climate measure that was enacted last year. Among other things, the GOP bill would scale back the 45Q tax credit for carbon sequestration. That credit could potentially benefit pipelines that could be used to sequester carbon from ethanol plants and lower the carbon intensity of corn-based ethanol. The bill would repeal a new credit for low-carbon biofuels and sustainable aviation fuel. The new clean fuel production credit, known as 45Z, could allow ethanol plants to pay farmers a premium for corn that's grown within the climate-smart farming practices. The biodiesel tax credit, meanwhile, would sunset, and under the IRA, the biodiesel subsidy was extended to 2024 when it will be replaced by the 45Z credit. What's next? Well, even if the House moves the bill on a party-line vote, it can't pass in the Senate. But analysts at Clearview Energy Partners say McCarthy may have boxed himself in by trying to kill those and other IRA provisions. Their strategy may, quote, protect McCarthy's right flank while he moves the bill through the House, but conservatives seem unlikely to accept a paring back or eliminations of those IRA rollbacks if talks progress, the analysts say. But getting a debt ceiling deal that Democrats will swallow likely means dropping most, if not all, of those IRA rescissions, the analysts add. GOP House members criticize EPA atrazine review. Republican lawmakers are asking EPA to expand the scope of a scientific advisory panel that's looking at issues surrounding atrazine herbicide. EPA is seeking nominations by April 24th for a SAP to look at scientific justification for a contaminant benchmark, 3.4 parts per billion of atrazine that EPA is using to determine what types of mitigation measures to require. In a letter being sent today, more than three dozen House members say EPA's announced review, focusing on only 11 studies, is too narrow. EPA needs to evaluate, quote, all potential risks to the aquatic plant community and use well-rounded and complete scientific studies, they said in their letter. They also asked that USDA be allowed to participate. The request for nominations, quote, is a step in the right direction, but the scope of the SAP must represent the full range of science available on atrazine, said Representative Mark Alford, the Missouri Republican. He was joined by Representative Tracy Mann, the Kansas Republican, and three dozen other GOP lawmakers in the letter to EPA Administrator Michael Regan. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Thune, planted versus base may be an issue in the farm bill. Senate GOP Whip John Thune, the South Dakota Republican, expects there to be discussion this year about tying commodity program payments to planted acres rather than historical base acres. Payments are currently made on base acres rather than actual plantings to avoid influencing farmers' decisions on what crops to grow in a given year. That clearly is an issue or reform that makes a lot of sense, Thune said during an interview for this week's AgriPulse Newsmakers. Whether or not that could be accommodated within the budget framework that we have to work with remains yet to be seen. Newsmakers will be available today at AgriPulse.com. Flooding expected on the Upper Mississippi River. The Upper Mississippi River is rising as snowpacks are melting, and now the National Weather Service is predicting minor to moderate flooding on the waterway. Waters are expected to rise steadily over the next 2 weeks, and the river is, quote, expected to crest in the Dubuque area early next week and continue downriver, the agency said. The National Weather Service defines minor flooding as causing some public threat or inconvenience. Moderate flooding bringing, quote, some inundation of structures and roads, as well as causing some evacuations and possible forcing the transfer of property to higher elevations. USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service, quoting information from the American Commercial Barge Line, said flooding is expected to force the closure of locks 3 through 17, that's roughly St. Paul, Minnesota, to southern Iowa. Many barge companies are working with shippers to move freight early to limit their commitments and redirecting empty barges to other markets not affected by the high water, AMS says. Strong week for U.S. corn exports. The U.S. exported about 1.3 million metric tons of corn for the week of April 7 to 13. It's a 42% increase from the previous 7-day period and a 27% increase over the prior 4-week average. That according to the latest trade data out of USDA's Foreign Agriculture Service. Most of that corn was shipped to Mexico, over 410,000 tons, but some also sent to China, almost 78,000 tons. As for export sales, well, the U.S. had a bigger week for new crop contracts. FAS reports export sales of 422,000 tons for delivery in the 23-24 marketing year and only 312,000 tons sold for the 22-23 delivery. China was the largest destination for purchases in both marketing years. Take note, the FAS report included an export sale of 44,000 tons of U.S. corn to Iraq for delivery in the 22-23 marketing year, most of which was previously designated as going to unknown destinations. One industry analyst called the sale, quote, a bit odd, because Iraq sets most of its corn from closer destinations like Ukraine, although it does buy some from South America, too. Most U.S. shipments to Iraq are traditionally smaller food aid donations. FDA delays action on milk alternatives. The Food and Drug Administration is reopening the public comment period for its draft guidance for labeling plant-based milk alternatives. The agency says it's responding to, quote, requests from stakeholders to allow additional time for interested persons to develop and submit comments. The agency hasn't announced a timetable for the additional comments. Well, here's today's He Said It. They are doing everything they can, these farmers and ranchers, to pass on that legacy to their kids and grandkids. They deserve conservation programs at USDA as imaginative as they are, as ambitious as the problems they seek to solve. That's Senator Michael Bennett, Colorado Democrat, at a Senate Ag Subcommittee hearing yesterday. Well, that's Daybreak for this Friday, April 21st, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.